Welcome to the Neighborhood Church Misawa Sermon Podcast. NCM is a multicultural church serving the English-speaking community in Misawa. For more information or to contact us, visit us online at neighborhoodmisawa.com.
Today is our final Sunday in our Empowered series. Next week, we'll start a new series going through the Beatitudes in Matthew chapter 5 and the upside down world of what Jesus spoke, that it goes completely opposite to culture and where he called us out and how to live. So we'll be diving into that next week. But today is our final Sunday in the Empowered series. I truly pray that you have been encouraged. I pray that this has begun to create a hunger and a desire for more of him, a hunger and a desire after his Holy Spirit, a hunger and a desire to be empowered, to live a life not just coasting through or to live a life meager, but truly by the empowerment of the Holy Spirit that you can accomplish all that God set out for you to do, because he does want to empower us. He empowers us, as we've looked at over the past few weeks, he empowers us to boldness so we can boldly proclaim the gospel, that we can disciple, not only be disciple, but we can disciple others and teach them to follow him. We can pray for the sick and they would be healed, not because of our prayers, but because we are faithfully being obedient to God and stepping out and praying for those that are sick. We can speak with authority. We can speak the words of God. We can endure through persecution through the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. He empowers us to deliver, to hear, to plant. And today we're going to be looking at how the Holy Spirit empowers us to live. How does the Lord call us into a relationship and then desire to empower us to live? Paul wrote about this multiple times throughout his writings, but we're going to look at one specific passage, and that's found in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15 through 21. Ephesians, so if you go past Corinthians and you have Galatians, Ephesians chapter 5. And if you don't have a Bible, we will have it here on the screen. Scripture says, excuse me, "Be careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ." Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit would reveal this passage in your heart for us, that we would be empowered to live for you. God, we invite you. Be exalted through this. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So these verses, if you go back, you know, important, and you're reading the Word of God, to always look at the context. What's going on before a passage? What's going on afterwards? So that you can get the full understanding. You don't ever want to just dive off a high diving board into a pool unless you know how deep it is or where you're diving into, right? And so the same thing is true for Scripture. We don't ever just want to pull out one Scripture without understanding the context, because we can misunderstand, we can misapply it into our lives. And so if you look at what Paul was talking about in the chapters before that, Paul was actually talking about through this entire book of how we should walk. In Ephesians 4:1, he said that we should walk worthily of the salvation and calling Jesus gave, that our walk should be worthy of Jesus, that we should live a life so well that it would bring glory and honor to Jesus and how we live and the calling that he gave. In chapter 4, verse 17, Paul says that we should walk in holiness and not as those who don't know Jesus. We don't walk like the world walks. We don't walk like those who don't know Jesus, but we're called to walk like Jesus in holiness and in purity. In chapter 5, verse 2, it says that Paul said that we should walk in the way of love as Jesus did. The world is full of hatred and bitterness and spewing mess, but yet Jesus spoke love. He spoke truth. Don't get those two things separated. Jesus spoke truth, but he spoke it in love every single time. And we're called to walk in that same love as Jesus did. And then a few verses before the passage we read in verse 8, it says, he said that we should walk as children of the light. Children of the light of Jesus that pushes back the darkness and doesn't intertwine with the darkness, but children of the light. And so this portion in Ephesians connects to walking in the light. He said, because we're called to walk worthily, because we're called to walk in holiness, because we're called to walk in love and in the light, we have to be careful how we live. You know, Obon, it's a celebration that I talked about a couple of weeks ago. Obon is the holiday that's here. It's a Buddhist holiday here in Japan. And it just concluded past weekend. And I'm always amazed at the care and the intentionality that the Japanese take in all the things that they do, everything, whether it's McDonald's and how neatly it is, or it's what holidays. And so there's so much care, but it seems like Obon is just a heightened level of that care that they have. And so I watched my neighbors and I watched the community and I watched, you know, in grocery stores, you notice things begin to shift. And I watched as in the cemeteries, as I was passed by, every single tomb had these beautiful, fresh flowers put out before Obon. Every single one of them, or most of them, would have drinks or trinkets for the deceased ancestors, for them to encourage them to come back from the grave and spend time with them. They would, there's special meals that are eaten. Their home is clean. Guys, on the first day of Obon, the laundromat was packed out as people were cleaning their clothes and cleaning their homes and getting prepared for this four-day celebration, inviting their dead ancestors to come back from the grave. They took care in every single aspect. There were fires that sometimes are lit and special sticks that are used for those fires that are lit to encourage, so to help their dead ancestors to know where to come from the grave and where to go. They purchase special foods that are offerings. So much time, so much money goes into it, and it's heartbreaking because it is. It's a dark holiday, void of the hope of Jesus Christ, and we have that hope with us through Jesus. But as I watched our neighbors, and as I watched the community, and as I watched the surroundings around me, and I noticed the great care that they had for the dead, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and asked me the question, how much care is given to the life? While there's great care here in Japan given to the dead and making sure that is taken care of, the Holy Spirit speaks to us and says, what about the life? What about your life? How are you taking care of your life, your soul, your not just your body, but your soul? Are you investing into it to the same capacity and even more than what the Japanese are doing to take care of the dead? Are we investing into our lives and taking care and guarding this precious, precious gift that we have been given in life? Francis Schaeffer, he asked this question in one of his books. He said, how should we then live? How should we live? In the 90s, it was, what would Jesus do, right? I know, most of you weren't born. But in the 90s, if you were alive, that's what it would have said. There's like five of us who were alive then, so it's great. How should we then live? Or as Paul put it, be careful in how we live. He said, we can't live as unwise. We can't live as unwise, but as wise. And so in this translation, unwise is also meaning foolish. Now, foolish doesn't mean silly, right? I think sometimes that we lose the impact of words because it's thrown around. Oh, stop being so foolish, right? It's not silly. But foolish here means that one who lacks the power of proper discernment. Foolish or unwise means one who lacks the power of proper discernment, one who lacks the understanding of how to live for God, one who lacks the ability to see right and wrong and be able to walk in that way. And so Paul said, listen, we're not supposed to live like that. We're called to live a wise life that knows exactly the path that God has called us, and we stay on that path and we're not moved, but it has to come through the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. See, guys, we need the empowerment of the Holy Spirit to give us the wisdom and the understanding of how to live. We need to know God's will. We need to know his path. We need to have that power to not only know it, but then walk through it. Students, as you head into school, you may know it, but you need the power of the Holy Spirit to continue to walk in it. It doesn't help you if you know it and you don't walk in it. God calls us to know the truth and walk in that. And so Jesus said, Paul said, we have to be careful because the days are evil. But Jesus said something similar. in Matthew chapter 24, verses 10 through 12, Jesus warned the disciples and those around him. And he said at that time, he's talking about in the end of days and as we progress, he said at that time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other. And many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. Jesus warned that the closer and closer and closer we get to his return, the more and more and more evil will abound. And it's not that we have to be afraid, but we have to take Paul's words and say, then be careful how you live. Live as wise, not as unwise. Jesus said, be careful in how you live because evil will increase. He said that there will be false prophets. There will be people who turn away from Jesus. There will be false teachers. Guys, we're already seeing this, right? There will be, as wickedness increases, the love for the Father will grow cold. The senses will be dulled. We are living in those days. And I think COVID, if you look at COVID, it's kind of served as this refining period. Not a fun one. Not one that any of us would have chosen. At least I don't think any of us would have chosen it. But it has served as a refining place for believers and for the church. We see people walking away from the relationship and salvation in Jesus. I know people who I went to Bible college with and who were in ministry and who are serving the Lord, and today they've walked away and they're no longer serving the Lord, and it breaks my heart. I have a professor that I went to that was at the Bible college that I attended. Phenomenal professor, one who was an apologetic. So he would defend the gospel. He was outspoken for the truth of God's word. He was one of the popular ones where if you didn't get registered in his class like the first week, you were out of luck because everyone enjoyed being in his class. Today, he's now living as a woman. He divorced and left his family. He's now living as a woman and teaching all kinds of crazy things in another university. We see this. We see that people in the church who were not really solid in their walk with the Lord, we see that they've completely turned away from the Father. And that all happens. It's not like suddenly someone wakes up and says, I think today I'm going to walk away from the word of God. I think today I'm going to choose to not follow Jesus. I think today I'm going to live as a woman and divorce my wife and leave my kids. And I'm going to go, right? That never happens. But it's a gradual progression, right? At some point in my professor's life, he began to allow his senses to be dulled. He wasn't empowered by the Holy Spirit. He wasn't remaining true in the word of God. He was allowing false teachers, false prophets, whatever it may be. I don't know. Something happened along the way. And so we can look at these lives going, man, I'm never going to go that way. But Paul said, be careful how you live. Jesus said, there will be people who turn away. Guys, it is important that we remain in the truth of Jesus. It is important that we remain in Jesus and not listen to the false teachers. Guys, they're out there. Be careful in the sermons or the messages or the word from God that you listen to. Make sure it aligns with the word of God. Make sure that the word from God that's being spoken is the word of God. Make sure that the message you're hearing is the truth. Don't allow just because it's a fun, just because it's got hype, just because people are waving a white rag or whatever it may be, a hanky in the audience, just because people are shouting and encouraging, people are sharing. Don't just take that that's the gospel truth. What does it say in the word of God? There are people out there who will tell you all kinds of things to make you comfortable, to make it hyped up, to get the shares and the likes. Don't just take it that it's the truth. Find out for yourself. Watch how you walk, as wise, not as unwise. Jesus said, be careful. There will be false prophets. There will be false teachers. There will be people who will come and whisper sweet nothings in your ear because it sounds good and it feels good. I think I'll go that way. That's not what we're called to do. Jesus said, because of the wickedness, the love of many, love of most will grow cold. Evil and wickedness can dull our senses. Evil and wickedness can begin to wear on us because we begin to accept things that we never would have accepted before. We accept things that are not in the word of God. And that's what culture wants us to do, right? Culture says that if you don't accept whatever's put out there, you're a bigot and you're hateful. Well, I think we're in pretty good company because Jesus was called all kinds of names. And it doesn't mean we act a fool. It doesn't mean we're hateful, because it has to go along with what Jesus said. And he called us to walk in the way of love. But it doesn't mean everything has to be accepted, because it begins to dull our senses. And before you know it, we're no longer serving Jesus. Before you know it, we're going an opposite way. And we're not only responsible for us, but we're responsible for others who follow us. In fact, we're highly responsible for others who follow us. We are responsible for their walking away in salvation in Jesus. Not just words that come from people who are preaching. And you've heard me say this before. Guys, check what I say. Check what I say. Sometimes I'll say that Moses was one that, you know, took his son Isaac to be slaughtered. And that's not true. And thankfully, my daughter will correct me. But check what I say. Does it line up with the word of God? What does it say? What am I saying? Always take the truth and see if, let the word of God be the filter. Let the word of God be the filter, not what you feel, not what you think, not what somebody else is thinking, but let the word of God be the filter. And the stuff that doesn't line up, what do you do with coffee grounds after the water's already gone through? You just toss it out. You don't hang on to it. And I love coffee. I don't hang on to Bustelo after I've already made it in the Greca. No, I throw it out. I don't reuse it. I don't keep it. I let it do what it's supposed to do. Filter it out, and then I throw it away. And the same has to be true. If it doesn't line up with the word of God, throw it out. Don't hang on to it. Don't carry it around. Throw it out. But not just words, guys. Sometimes there's other things that can dull our senses. There's things, now I sound like a broken record, but it's because it's a big deal for me. Music. Music is huge. It's powerful. It has a great impact in our minds, has a great impact in our hearts. And so not only just secular music, I would encourage you to allow what comes into your heart. Scripture says that what comes in is what's going to come out. So if you're listening to all kinds of things that are not of the Lord, guess what's going to come out? That's what's going to come out. You're not going to be able to get this coming out of your mind and out of your mouth and out of your heart if there's other mess going in. But not only that, check out the worship music. Check it out. Look at the lyrics. Sometimes the rhythm is so amazing. The beat is so amazing that we get lost and we'll just sing in all kinds of junk that doesn't even line with the word of God. So check it out, because everybody's doing a worship album. But is it the word of God? So look at the lyrics. I encourage you to do that. I encourage you to dig into what it's saying. There's a saying that I learned or heard in college. It said that we may not speak lies, but we're quick to sing them. And so not only learning what it says, and then as we sing it, believe it and make it be a prayer. Proverbs 4:23 says, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Guard your heart through the word of God, and through the empowerment of the Holy Spirit and the wisdom he brings. Guard yourself against the wickedness of the world. It dulls our senses. It will mar our vision. It will close our ears so we can't hear the voice of the Father. And don't worry about what others may say, right? Don't worry about others may say. I always think about when Jesus was reinstating Peter. And John said, well, what about him? What are you going to do with him? And what did Jesus say to John? He said, John, you don't worry about him. You follow me. Don't worry about what they're saying out here. Don't worry about what they're doing out here. You follow him. You keep your eyes on Jesus. Guard your heart above all else. Guard it. Don't accept. Don't allow it to dull. Don't allow your heart to grow cold. In earlier verses, Paul said, don't even have anything to do with wickedness. Don't have anything to do with wickedness. That's a pretty drastic line that's drawn. It's a space that's drawn. Don't have anything to do with wickedness. Now, this doesn't mean that we go and hide out in a closet and we never come out because there's wickedness in the world. No, but it means that we don't participate. It means that we don't entertain it. It means that we're not around it. It means that we choose to separate ourselves so that we can be filled with the Holy Spirit and follow after the Father. You can't do both. It's never going to work. Promise you, take it to the bank, because Jesus said it. He said, you can't serve two masters. It's not going to happen. And so we are called to be careful in how we live. Be careful in how we live. Paul didn't just encourage them to walk wisely, but it was his fervent prayer, because he understood the necessity of wisdom and the understanding of through the power of the Holy Spirit. And if you look back in the first chapter, verse 17, this is his prayer. He said, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. He said, I pray, it's my prayer that you would be filled with the Holy Spirit and wisdom so that you may know him better and be able to follow him all the more. How greatly we need the empowerment of the Holy Spirit in our lives to walk in wisdom, to walk in understanding, and to walk in his light. And so he said, therefore, since you're called to watch how you live, not foolishly, but with the wisdom and understanding of the Lord, he said, here's what it looks like. And so he begins to give examples. And the first one, he just runs right out of the gate, doesn't mess around. He said, do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Now, debauchery isn't a word that we typically use in our everyday language, at least not me. If you've been able to work it in, kudos to you and you're really great at vocabulary. It's not a word that we use often. And so it means wasteful or reckless. And so he said, don't get drunk on wine, which leads to wastefulness and recklessness. Paul didn't say, don't get drunk on wine because it wastes your, I'm sorry. He said, Paul said, don't get drunk on wine because it wastes your mind. It wastes your talents. It wastes your opportunity to follow Jesus. And quite frankly, it will waste your opportunity to share the gospel with others. Don't get drunk on wine because it's reckless. Alcohol numbs. Alcohol dulls our senses and our mind. We can't think properly. And in order to be on guard, in order to watch how we live, we don't need anything in our bodies dulling our senses. We don't need anything that's going to lead us away from the Father and not make us quick to respond, not help us to be aware of what's going on around us. And it's no secret. It is no secret. And I'll tell you, here or out there, I'm not a fan of alcohol at all. I don't think it belongs in the life of a believer. So we just take it as that, right? Scripture doesn't say that drinking a little bit of wine is wrong. But I will tell you from my heart, I don't like alcohol. I've been there. I've seen the destruction that it does in lives. I've been at death's door. Grace of God, I have no clue. The grace of God that I'm still alive, that my kidneys are functioning. Because the doctor said if I didn't stop, I was going to go into kidney failure. The times that I got behind the wheel drunk and still alive, grace of God, I've seen its destruction in my life. I've seen its destruction in other lives. I've seen how it can steal away from others. I see how it can steal away from the impact that we have. Ruins our opportunity, ruins our integrity to be able to express the freedom of Jesus. If I begin to walk back into that life and I begin to drink again, how in the world can I stand up here and say, Jesus can bring freedom into your life? Jesus can do this. Jesus can set you free. I can't, because I've now melded in with those things. I've now allowed my senses and my heart and my mind to be dulled. And so I think it ruins a lot of things in our lives. But it's not the only thing. But I want to encourage you guys. I want to encourage you, ask the Holy Spirit, right? If that's what I'm telling you, if this is what Paul is saying, don't just let it stop here, or don't get frustrated with what I'm saying, or, well, she doesn't know anything, right? Take it to the Father. Ask him. Here's what your word says, God. What should I do about this? And then wait. And God's really good about speaking to us. Maybe you are stuck in this alcoholism. Guys, there is freedom in Jesus. Not a fake, not a 12-step program. There is freedom and transformation in Jesus. One day I was an alcoholic, got saved, God transformed my life. The next day I'm so repulsed by it that I can't even smell it. That is the transformation of Jesus. That is the power of the Holy Spirit working in our lives. And I know it's not just my story because I look out and I see people who have been set free. God is able to bring freedom in our lives, but that's not the only area he wants to touch. That might be the area that Paul spoke about, but there's other things in our lives that can dull our senses. And so we have to be willing to say, Holy Spirit, what's going on in my life? Are there things in my life that can dull my senses? Are there things in my life that can make me grow cold? Are there things in my life that will not allow me to be empowered by the Holy Spirit and to live a life victorious for you? That's the question we need to be asking the Father. But I want to encourage you, step away from anything that can steal your testimony to those that don't know the Father. Step away from it. If it's going to steal your testimony, if it's going to keep you from being able to fully share the gospel with someone who's trapped in whatever it may be, then step away from it. It's not worth it. Be an example. Be the light. Walk in the light. Guard what has been entrusted to you. But Paul didn't just say, listen, guys, don't get drunk. No, he put another part onto that. He said, listen, don't be drunk and wasteful of your time, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be filled with the Holy Spirit that brings joy, that brings peace, that transforms, that doesn't leave us hungover, that doesn't leave us messed up, that doesn't lead us to, the Holy Spirit will never lead you down the wrong path. The Holy Spirit will never lead you to make dumb decisions. I've made a lot when I was drunk. And so the Holy Spirit will never lead us that way. But he said, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be baptized with the Holy Spirit and allow the joy and peace that he gives to fill your life. And so when you look at the Greek nuances, and I'm not by any means Greek scholar at all, but you look at, thankfully, there's tools that we can use, and you look at the meaning when it said be filled with the Spirit. It goes much deeper than just be filled with the Holy Spirit. Greek has all these different levels and has all these different kind of tones and implications in the language. And so to fully understand, it had these elements within it. When Paul said, be filled with the Spirit, which was under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, it's the Lord speaking. Be filled means it's a command. It's not a suggestion. It's not a piece of advice. It's not optional. Paul wasn't saying, if you get around to it, be filled with the Spirit. Here's a great idea. Have you ever tried? It's not like, hey, have you tried McDonald's? Hey, have you been to Umeå? Hey, have you had the fried rice at Arashi's? It wasn't that. Paul said, through the power of the Holy Spirit, be filled with the Spirit. We need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He compels us. He commands us. Be filled with the Spirit because we need the power of God in our lives. Just as when salvation comes, there's water baptism. That was a command. Be baptized in water. Be filled with the Spirit. Share the gospel. Those things are not optional. God wants us, he commands us because he loves us, not like as a rule follower, not like as a checking off the box, but because he loves us, because he knows what we need and who we need. He says, be filled with the Spirit. He wants you to be equipped through the baptism of the Holy Spirit so that you can not only live, but so you can share the gospel. The be filled also had the sense that it wasn't passive in that it wasn't manufactured. Be filled with the Spirit didn't mean we can manufacture. I love the ups and downs of worship, and I love when Susan and Wilman, and they just know how to up and down. It just goes, it swells and goes down. I'm not good at that part, but they are, and I'm so grateful for that. But being filled with the Holy Spirit is not something that we can crescendo. It's not something we bring down. It's not something we manufacture. But it is an act of the Father in our life. It's a free gift. It's him desiring to pour out into our lives as we hunger and as we desire and thirst for him. And one more thing that it had this element in the be filled, it wasn't a one-time thing. God desires to baptize us and fill us with the Holy Spirit over and over and over and over again. Guzik, who is a theologian and commentator of Ephesians, he wrote a commentary. And he said, much of the weakness, defeat, and lethargy in our spiritual life can be attributed to the fact that we are not constantly being filled with the Holy Spirit. He said, we feel weak, we feel exhausted, we feel defeated because we don't have the empowerment of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We need the constant filling. We need the baptism of the Holy Spirit in our lives over and over and over and over again. So all of these meanings, a command, it's not manufactured, and the constant filling are all within the be filled that Paul used. And he said, then out of that, so he gave the what it might look like. And he said, but when you are baptized with the Holy Spirit, when you are filled and filled and repeatedly filled by the Holy Spirit, here's what it will empower you. Here's what the Holy Spirit will empower you to do. This is going to be the outflow of that. He said, to speaking, it will empower us to speak to one another with psalms, with hymns and songs from the Spirit. He'll empower us to sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And it will enable us and empower us to submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. When we are empowered by the Holy Spirit, when we are filled and refilled and refilled and refilled with the Holy Spirit, it enables us to be able to encourage each other. It enables us to be able to encourage and lift each other up and to share the word of God and to share things that God has spoken to us and how he's encouraged us and how he's set us free and how he's worked in our lives. Out of that, we're able to help others. It helps us to walk in the wisdom and the understanding of the Father. It helps us to give thanks in every situation. And, you know, I've just been praying this morning, and it's been on my heart so much, the Afghan believers. And I can't imagine what they're facing today, what they're facing this past week, what they've been going through, not just this past week. Things they began seeing the change and the shift early July. I can't imagine the things that they're facing, but if you hear the reports of these Afghan believers who are facing death, who are facing torture, who are facing their children being stripped away, what their response is, what the children's response is, we feel the presence of Jesus. We feel the presence of the Holy Spirit who will not only live for Jesus, but will die. Guys, that doesn't come for our human nature. It's not something that we wake up in the morning like, I think I'm going to live for Jesus today, and you know, if I die, I die. It's not something that comes innately, that will stand in the face of real persecution and say, I choose not to deny Jesus. I choose not to deny Jesus, but I choose to follow him. I'm going to live for him, and I'm not going to live quietly. There are ones who are remaining, sharing the gospel openly, knowing that it will not only bring death, but it could cause their family to be torn apart. But that's the same empowerment he longs to give us, that in every situation, out of the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, we'll be able to say, thank you, God. Not thank you so much for the Taliban. I'm so glad that they came. No, thank you, God, that you are faithful. Thank you, God, that you are my strong tower. Thank you, God, that you are my firm foundation. Thank you, God, that you bring peace. Thank you, God, that you are the encourager. Thank you, God, we can begin to take the truth of God's word through the empowerment of the Holy Spirit and encourage us and say, thank you, God. I'm so grateful for your presence and for what you're doing. Thank you, God. It doesn't come from us within ourselves. It comes from the power of the Holy Spirit. And say thank you in whatever situation. And then Paul, as he closed it out, he said that being filled with the Holy Spirit will also help us to submit to one another in reverence and respect of Jesus. And this word submit that Paul used is actually a military term. And so the people during that time would have understood it. And I have a pretty good crowd that would also understand submitting. Submitting takes on the whole idea of rank and order. And so being able to submit the military, it's not like I'm explaining anything different to you. You join the military, you lose all of your rights, basically. You're no longer an individual. You're a group. You have to submit to rank and order and everything. You have to submit to those who are higher ranking, even if they're not as smart as you, even if you more know more. You have to submit under, I know there's people going, had to do that before. You have to submit to those who are over you out of respect. That's what you're called to do, or you get out. I mean, that's the choice, right? You have to submit and rank in order. Rank in order tells you where you're going to live. I know there's a dream sheet, and most of the time it's a dream. Rank and order tells you where you're going to live. Rank and order tells you where you're going to, who you're going to live next to. Rank and order, yeah,
yep.
Rank and order decides every single part of your life because you've submitted yourself to this career that you've chosen, to this career where the Lord's called you. Rank and order dictates every portion of your life. How often do we hear mission first? How often do I read them telling y'all mission first, right? Mission first. How many times have you heard that in the past year? Mission first. Mission first. But mission first, right? You have to submit to that rank and order of things. It strips you of the me first and I want my way mindset. Whether you like it or not, it strips. Because you're not just one. You're not just one. And that's good. Because nothing would ever be one if it was just one. But pours in this idea that you are a team. And it's that same idea, except we have a really good general, really good leader in Father and God. And so rank and order and submission drills into you. You're not individual. You're part of a team. And so the submission that Paul spoke of out of reverence and respect to Jesus has that same idea. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, we're called to submit to one another. We're called to submit to each other in reverence, in love for Jesus. We're called to submit to our leaders. Guys, I have to submit to my leaders. I don't just do whatever I want to do. I don't decide, hey, I think I'm going to go home next week and we're going to do itineration where we raise funds. That's not how it works. I submit to my leaders. I can't just go off and do whatever I want to do here at the church or in Japan or through Assemblies of God World Missions, even through my district. I submit to my leaders, but it takes the power of the Holy Spirit because sometimes people make decisions. You're like, I just don't get it. I don't understand what they're doing. I think this would be a better idea. I think this would work out better. But we are called to submit to one another out of reverence for Jesus, out of the love of the Father, but it takes the power of the Holy Spirit because our personalities, our human flesh, the culture says, you do you, boo. I'm going to do me. And nobody's going to tell me what to do. Nobody's going to tell me, right? The head, whatever. I can't do it. My whole body shakes. Me first. Me first. Me, 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 me. And yet Scripture says, submit to one another through the power of the Holy Spirit. That's why we have better together. And it's not just so we can have a cute slaying. I truly pray, may that be our heart. May we grasp onto that out of reverence, out of submission together, that we are better together. But it's going to take the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. So why be empowered to live? Because Jesus wants us to grow in the knowledge of him, the wisdom of him, but also to lead others to him, to bring others to him. Jesus said this in Matthew 28, 18 through 20. I know it's a verse that most of us have heard and probably could repeat it by memory, which is really good. He said, then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. If I can get the worship team to come. We need the power, the empowerment of the Holy Spirit to live a life for Jesus. We need the empowerment of the Holy Spirit to help us with boldness and discipleship. To help us pray for the sick and them be healed, to watch people be delivered and set free, to help plant the gospel where we're at and share the gospel with others. We need the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. It will not be possible in and of ourselves. You will not make it in your human nature. You will run out, you will be empty, you will be dry, and you will grow cold. But God says, I've got the solution for you. I've got my Holy Spirit. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. And not only that, I will baptize you so that you will have the power to live, so you will have the power to speak the truth, so you'll have the power to pray for others and see them set free, so that you'll be empowered to share the gospel wherever he leads you. And that's what he wants in your life. But he's not going to force himself. He's not going to make you. He offers. He may command, but he doesn't force. He offers. Are you hungry? Do you desire the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Do you desire to be empowered? Do you desire to allow him to move in your life? And that's the same question he asked to us today. And as we say, yes, Lord, I'm hungry. Yes, Lord, I want the Holy Spirit. He's faithful to do that. He will pour out his Spirit into our lives when we are hungry and thirsty and desire a move.
Thank you for listening to the Neighborhood Misawa's Sermon Podcast. If you need prayer, email us at neighborhoodmisawa@gmail.com or online at neighborhoodmisawa.com.